Okay, it's 6 o'clock and we are on Kuf Amid Beis. I believe, no, Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. And we are up to Tana Rabbanan. We're going to start again, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines to the end of the narrow lines. Tana Rabbanan, Sachlim, Mamash Mishim, B'Meimayim, B'Shabbos. We spoke about yesterday that a person can act, a person that's ill can act the same way a healthy person acts. Rashi explains because it's like drinking, and therefore, even though he's ill, but just like ill people, people that are not well, can drink a drink that's refuah because healthy people drink it, so also they can smear since healthy people smear. The lechshin lechishas lechashim v'akravim b'shabbos. Machlokes is trying to learn, but Rashi learns it means that if a snake or scorpion is trying to attack, a person can do an incantation to drive them away. Now what it does is, it stops them from moving, it like captures them, and the Kiddush is, it's not called Seda. Now the problem here the Rishayim have is, why isn't this Chayver Chaver? We had earlier in the Masechta that to make scorpions and snakes do things through incantations are involved in Chayver Chaver. So the Mepharshim explained, the Adramah explains that it's only if you tie them together, you do Shira with each other, whatever that is, whereas if you just keep them from damaging you, just get them, you know, keep them away from you, that is permissible. So Trashi lurks him in the Chajra, grab them. Yes, thank you. Today's learning is dedicated to the Nishma, Shabbichmiel, Menachem, and Ramchaim, Yaakov, Yisroel, Zechar, and Levrach, on the day of his first yahrzeit. May today's learning be a schutz for his neshama, Shemishmas, the Tzura, Mitzur, Achayim, sponsored by his family. Okay, so Rashi lurks him in the Chajra, grab him, Shabbos. Especially is equal, they shouldn't damage. It's not called trapping. But the third thing the Brizer says is,
by that thing, it's dangerous. It's something nefarious.
Well, again, if it's dangerous, then you can even capture it by Yadayim. So Rashi wouldn't have to say, right? You're bringing up a good question. If this is a question of Sakana, we're not to kill it. I mean, you can do anything. So what's the Kiddush? Terry says, it's not dangerous. Not dangerous, you just don't want to mess with them. So, but you don't want to mess with them, so why isn't it Chayver Chaver? And the answer is, it's only Ayidei Kshira, whatever that is, not Ayidei Kshira. And the next thing the Brisa says is, Mavir and Kliya Gabi Ayim B'Shabbos. They used to put metal on the keli, on the eye, in order to cool down the eye. To serve as a cool down, I guess, to keep from swelling as well. And you're allowed to use a keli on the eye on Shabbos, and it's not considered a refuah. This is not considered a refuah, because it doesn't say why here. I assume it's because refuah is only us and things that can be done medically. Since it can't be done through, it can be done by something you do by mouth. So things that you can do by mouth, you're not allowed to do not by mouth. But things that can't be done not by mouth are not us by Mishumar Shkikisam among them. I don't know, what does he say in the bottom? Why are you allowed to do this? Why isn't there no question of refuah here?
The compass is a whole metal object, and that was crushed herbs.
Right, that's what I think he's saying. Rashi kli agabi ayin, shkendera klikin kli matkos al ayin, you put metal on the eye, kdei lakarar ayin. Inami, kdei shayisim ladim shachash bein, like people who have eye problems, makifin eina betabas, we surround his eye with a ring. A ring is a... something, I guess, to keep the swelling from spreading. Again, I think both are anti-swelling measures to be taken. I'm going to assume I'm leaving a medrash.
But Chazal, there's other things that Chazal Aser, you know, is not a pill.
Only thing, the Mepharshim say, only things that can be also done with a pill.
What the lotion stuff and all that?
Lotion stuff is mamarach, it's a deraisa. I mean, it's cream. Lotion is mutter. Some things that are done with lotions can be done with medication as well. Things that are made. It could also be, again, that could be done by crushed herbs to make the oil. That could be involved in Shikasam Amanam as well.
Okay, but the bottom line is, something can only be done, something that cannot be done through medication can be done then.
Unless no malacha is involved.
Right.
We allow putting ice on swelling on Shabbos. We don't call that refuah, even though today there are medications that would do it. But I think they it used to be that was the only way to keep swelling. Today you can take There's pills to take to keep from swelling up. And, what?
Anti-inflammatory. Put the steak on it. On the eye.
Yeah, but so Rebbe's trying to say that Chazal, you know,
Chazal is interesting to some amount of.
But let's say this with the anti-inflammatory.
I don't know how effective. They talk about it today. Why doesn't it become us? It's not our logic here now, but they do ask the question. Now that there are anti-inflammatories, why doesn't that answer putting ice in a wound? But originally, the reason it was mutter to put ice in a wound is because there was no way of using any kind of made object, crushed herbs or something like that, to do the reform. That's my advice. I'm assuming I'm going to be able to more than the kli anito. It's only if the keli is not muktzah. The kli she'en anito aser. But a keli that's not movable because it's muktzah, you're not allowed to do it. But the Megadim has a problem here. We paskin, and this is halacha, that a kli shemalach de l'iser, a kli that its main purpose is for iser, pot, a hammer, a screwdriver, is allowed to be moved on Shabbos if you're going to use it in a way that's permissible. Meaning, if I'm going to use the pot to hold the food, I'm allowed to move the pot even though the main function of a pot is to cook. If I want to use the hammer to open peanuts or not, I'm allowed to, even though it's a hammer. So the question is, why over here is Shimon Gamliel saying that if I'm going to use this keli to cool down my eye, to cool down an eye, I can only use a non-muktzah keli? Let's say I'm taking a muktzah keli, a klishim malach de l'yisr, and I'll place it on the eye. I'm doing a davar mutter. So it's mutter. There's no muktzah problem here. Why is Shimon Gamliel saying that I'm not allowed to use it? This is the Prima Gadim's question. Now, one could answer that we're talking about a kli that's a different kind of muktzah. Muktzah mach was chasar kis, but that's not what the Gemara seems to say. The Gemara seems to say something that's movable, something that's not movable. Kli shemalach de l'iser, a keli that's main functions for iser, cannot be moved unless you're using it or you need its place. Cannot be moved unless you're going to use it for davra mutter. But it could be moved for davra mutter. So the Megadim answer is that using such a keli is more indicative of refuah. Using a regular keli, people put, this is the way he explains it. People put regular kalim on their eye, even when they're not necessarily swelling up. But if you're going to go use a klisha malachim iser, that's more indicative of refuah. So the way the people got him explains it, it's not like we said before, that it's because this is not done through crushed herbs, therefore there's no iser refuah. He feels that this is things that people do under normal circumstances as well. Even when they're not infected eyes, they cool down their eye. It's a thing that healthy people do as well. So it's not refuah. But healthy people wouldn't use a klisha malach de l'iser. They would use a keli that's normally used for the eyes. They used to put things on their eyes to keep them cool. So mamela, it's not a refuah because, the way he learns, it's not a refuah because it's done by healthy people, but healthy people would not use a klisha malach de l'iser.
A piece of raw meat, is that something?
Yes, it's muktzah. That's worse than a keli klisha malach de l'iser. That's a muktzah machma is gufay. It's not a keli.
I'm allowed to move it if I need to place.
No.
Even if I need to place, I can't move.
Place. Right, you have to use your elbow. Your leg, your elbow, your body, not your hands. If you need something behind it, let's say I'm tevra mutter, you can take something and move it over, not your hand. Tiltu with kalach. There's three tiltus. We're not going to help smoke now. Three ways to move it. That's my right. One is not allowed to deal with shadim on Shabbos. Now here is a major machlokes b'shadim. There's a major machlokes b'shadim, but the shadim and witchcraft is one and the same. Shafim is usher. It's usher to engage in kishuf, right? They still might lasse us. We had that before. Is shadim shafim or not? So there's two schools of thought in the rishadim. How to reconcile this gemara with the gemara that shafim is usher. You have the opinion of the Ran, and the Rush writes in that he's Mesupik, but his son writes that his father leaned in the direction, that Shadim and Shafim are different. The Gemara had said they're different. The Isser of dealing with Shafim does not apply to dealing with Shadim. So therefore, during the week, according to the Tanakhama, if one wants to ask Shadim to help him locate a lost object, or if one wants to deal with Shadim to find out information, or to do anything, it would be 100% legal, because Shadim is not in the Isser of witchcraft. That school of thought differentiates in Halacha L'maisa between dealing with witchcraft and dealing with Shadim. There are two different approaches to the, what's the word, O-C-C-U-L-T, how do you pronounce that? Occult. and one is kishiv, one is shedim, and one is permissible and one is not permissible. Other Rishonim say no, they're both usher. But the Ramban writes, the issur is, the only issur to ask shafim is by oibi yadayni. Any other form of witchcraft, you cannot do it, you cannot have them do something for you. But to find that information through witchcraft or shedim is perfectly legal. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, if you want to find out where the lost object is and you have a contact with a shade or you know how to establish a contact, go ahead and do it. You can go ahead during the week, give them a buzz, call up your shade, your local friendly shade, and say, can you please tell me how to find my lost object? There's nothing wrong with Ramban, because you're not asking to do anything, and you're not doing anything yourself, you're just asking them for information. And the only one you're not allowed to ask information is Ayvi Yadayni. This is not Ayvi Yadayni, and therefore it's permissible. However, Shabbos, the Tanakhama says, that's engaging in business. That's like being involved in your business. To ask a shade to go ahead and find out for you is when you're asking for lost objects on Shabbos. No business allowed. What?
Someone finding a lost object on Shabbos. What's wrong with finding a lost object on Shabbos?
It's wrong to engage a shade to help you. I think doing a business deal. It's viewed as a business transaction. Goes under the rabbinic iser, the Dibrei Kabbalah iser, of Mamzich HaMetzecha, that we don't engage in business in Shabbos. And involving your shade and your pursuit of your lost objects is considered more like a business deal. That's what Rashi says, but Rashi, the Dvar Shadim. It's not engaging somebody to, I guess it's not called Mamzich HaMetzecha.
There's nothing wrong with trying to find the lost object.
Again, it's the engagement of Shabbos because of Mamzich HaMetzecha. The dealing with Shadim on Shabbos is considered like a business deal. That's what it says.
Because it's Nishim Shabbos direct?
I don't know how it works. That's what Rashi says. He's very not, doesn't say any more.
I'm sorry. And so what about asking a friend? Is that also?
No. It's only because it's Shadim. Exactly, that's considered a chatzicha. Well, again, right, using those powers, right, exactly. So Rashi, says in Rashi, Mitzvah Shedim. She had Eitim Kishayidim Shum Dover. This is what they do when they lose something. Shayidim Mamaychi Shedim. Vehei Megidim Lehem. Ve'asil Atim B'Shabbos Mishum Mamsa Chatzicha. Yes, what's your question?
No, I'm just trying to have maybe Raylo would try to understand, like, they can't do it for you. You could ask them, what is a shade of what do we get involved with them for?
Some people like to get involved. You know, if everybody wouldn't get involved and they shouldn't get involved, then it would be a much better world. People get involved. They like to. He lost a very expensive item, and the shade can help him find it.
Are these angels? Or are they?
The shade are in between people and angels, right? The Ryan Chagiga says in three ways they're like people, and three ways they're like angels. Rabbi Yossi says, even during the weekday, you shouldn't be dealing with them. And the Gemara will explain why in a moment. Amar Avuna, now, this question how to be Gairus, the Grunk thinks the right gear is to say halacha for Rabbi Yossi. And the Af Rabbi Yossi, le'am up neitzak, shum sakana. Rabbi Yossi doesn't argue in the halachic aspect of whether Shadim is kshafim or not, or whether asking Shadim is permissible. That's fine. He just says it's usher because it's putting oneself in danger. Dealing with them is like dealing with the mafia. You know what I mean? You just don't get involved with them, not because it's halakhically forbidden. It is, because of sakana. This is sakana. Getting involved with Shadim is like putting yourself into danger. So therefore he bans it during the week as well. So Trashi Abakhoi Lasa Lushu B'Shadim Farshul Kamam Shum Sakana. Tadir Vitzchah B'Yaitzim the Ibla B'Arza. Vitzchah B'Yaitzim asked the Shade, and the Shade wanted to hurt him. And a nate happened that he got into a cedar tree to avoid the shade. This Avadle Nisa and a nate happened. Paka Arzo Polte, then all of a sudden the cedar tree broke and he was able to get out. So some learned that the shade put him in the cedar tree. Some say Rashi learns he got into the cedar tree Alive Nate to save himself from the shade. Whatever it was, not a good idea. So therefore stay away from the shade and don't do business with them even during the week. Rashi got there Vitzkoy Shail of Majesty Shade of a Bikis Shade Vazikai Vinasoloi Nate. And the cedar tree swallowed him. That's my bite. Turn around. We said this yesterday. When it's about a smear oil, and mashmishim means to massage it in, to rub it in, the Shabbos. However, he shouldn't do it the same way he does it during the weekday. That's called uptat chayil. We don't like to do things the same way we do it in the weekday when it involves a process. Hechi Avid, what do we do? So during the week, you usually first soften the skin by rubbing at it, then you put the oil on. On Shabbos, you do the other way. First put the oil on, and then rub the skin. On Shabbos, put it on and rub at the same time, which is different the way you do it during the week. Rashi, and the coil you usually rub, and then you pour the oil.
But it could be in our days now you can't do it, right?
I don't know. I think Shukran says it's mutter. So you want to say whether it became a refuel because nobody does it anymore? Perhaps.
No,
I would have to look up the aloha.
Again,
I would have to look up the aloha. I didn't look it up.
No, the reason I'm thinking is because you could take medicine.
I told you, I think those things, they don't change. It's not learning of the Shabbos now, but they talk about putting ice on in their mattress. They didn't change it. Why we have to look up that look? I said, I didn't look it up. I'm not answering the question. If you want me, tomorrow morning, I'll give you an answer. But the question at hand is, it doesn't change. But I don't think we do it anymore. It's a culture has changed that healthy people don't do it. That might affect the halacha. They used to do this on a regular basis. I don't know why. No, absolutely not. That's my advice. Tana Rabbanan. There's a shayla how to be gairus here. How does he pronounce that word in English? Sorry or shari?
Sorry.
Some translate to shayde. The Rashash says you should be gairus shayde. Shayde shemen v'shayde bayim. Instead of sorry shemen v'sorry bayim. Whatever it is, it's shadim that used to go through oil or through eggs. Some used to do it through oil, and some used to do it through eggs. Communicate with the shayla, with the shadim. Mutarim lishobahem, you're allowed to deal with them. Now, the shayla had to be gairus. Rashi is gairus, elishim akasim. But you're wasting your time because they don't tell you the truth anyway. They're liars. So therefore, you're allowed to deal with them, like the Tanakama before, but you're wasting your time. They lied, so why bother? That's what it says. Now, others learn that it's going like Rabbi Yaisi, who says, don't deal with them, they're sakana, but with these you can deal because they lie anyway. So Adarabba makes it mutter. They're not going to do anything to you, they're a bunch of liars. So it's not like you're getting any. So some learn that it's mutter because they lie. That's how the Adramaz Gairus. Mutter l'shorban meshimachaz. And Rashi says, it's mutter l'shabem. But it's a waste of time because they lie. Loikshin Hashemesh Shabakli, the Ain Loikshin Hashemesh Shabiyat. Those people who communicate with Shadim through oil do it only when the oil is in a keli. But when the oil is in a hand, they do not do any incantation. Therefore, the Fichach Sachem Hashemesh Shabiyat, the Ain Sachem Hashemesh Shabakli. I think it is when you have a Shemesh Shabakli, you have a Shemen in the Kli, and you don't know. And you don't know that it wasn't used by Shadim. For all you know, somebody communicated with Shadim using it. Don't use the oil. Because once somebody used it to communicate with oil, this oil becomes a not healthy thing to put on your body. Whereas, if the oil is in someone's hand, and you don't know whether it was kept out of touch of Shadim or not, don't worry about it. Because while it's in someone's hand, they wouldn't use it for Shadim, and therefore, it's fine to use. So Trashi, sorry Shemen. Yesh ma'isa shadim shesharilim ayday shemen. The karlu is called sari shemen. The hainu sari bayhen. Same thing as sari bayhen. The yesh shesharilim shesharish abayin use an eggshell. The karlu sari bayhen. El shemachazman, the tach nizmu minishabam. People don't ask them because they're liars. Vekshan ha-shemen shebekli. Oysan ha-oysan ma'isa shadim. Darkin lukash ha-shemen shebekli. They usually do their incantation over oil in a keli. The ain darkin lukash ha-shemen shebiyad. They don't do it over oil in a hand. Shein ha-mayo doesn't help. The fizik adam yochul losu chaydadim ha-shemen shebiyad. The ain lukash, you don't have to be afraid. Shem ha-nasim ha-maisa shadim. The ain boi sakana sa-shad. And you don't have to be afraid. Maybe there was a ma'isa shadim, and therefore there's no sakana.
They're different between the different types of shadim, that these shadim.
Yeah, it seems that way. That's what it seems that way, correct? I guess there are different types of shadim, I don't know. That's my right. Yibitzchon bar Shmuel bar Marsa Iklala who Ashbizi came to this inn. Isolate Mishcha B'mana. They brought him oil in a keli. himself, he smeared it. Nafkin made simchi ba'ape. He got some boils on his forehead. Nafik l'shuka, he went out to the marketplace. Chazisa hiitza, a lady saw him. Amr zika de chamaska chazina. I see over here the spirit of this shade called chamas. Meaning, some shade got a hold of you, and that's why you broke out of this, what's the name again, these boils on your forehead. Abdullah Milsa, she did some kind of refuah, something, it doesn't say what. But it's the, and she healed him. Look, Rashi. I see in front of you, in your face, Shakazotka that grabbed you. That's the Gemara. I'm going to Rabbi Abba, the Rabbi Bar Mori. Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Bar Mori. Sivit says, "Kolamachlas is something the Mitzrayim liyastim alecha. All illnesses that I have placed in Mitzrayim, I will not place in you. Yadi Hashem refecha, for I am Hashem who heals you." Now the question is, it's a contradiction. If he ain't going to put it on you, so then why do you need a refuah? Refuah is only necessary if it's there. This is the way Rabbi Yochanan explained the pasuk. He said, this pasuk is supposed to be figured out from itself. If you listen, one would never get sick. But if the guy doesn't listen, Hashem might put those illnesses on him. So if one listens, and if one doesn't listen, Hashem will put it. But Hashem will heal him if he does tshuva again.
These machos are the machos, right?
I have no idea. No, it doesn't say what it is. It says it's illnesses. Not referring necessarily to the machos.
Because we don't at all what the machos were.
No, no. I don't.
Definitely not the
Matthew. I don't think it's the Matthew, correct. That's my right. I'm my Rabbi Bechara. Got sick. The Mashal learned it's the very same illness that we learned about earlier when he was dying. Others learned it's a different illness. In the Gemara itself, not clear. Nichnasu, Tamidim Levakrai, his Tamidim came to visit him. Amalahenzi, he said to them, Chema Azi Yesh Ba'ilam. What? Right, well, when they came to visit him, they sat away from four amas, right? Some learn it's that same visitation, that same visiting period. Others learn it's a different time. Chema azi yesh ba'ilam. There is a strong anger in the world. So Trashi, al-atmai ha-ya'aymar, referring to himself, should cause all of Hamakam that was angry at him, the hitman kol-ya'ay, and has made a heavy illness on him. Hizchilu heim ba'ikim. So they started crying, because he's saying that he's very sick. Rabbi Kiva Masakik and Rabbi Kiva started laughing. This is what happens many times throughout Shas. Amrulay Lamata Masakik. So they turned to Rabbi Kiva and they said, why are you laughing? Amrulay MC said to them, why are you crying? Amrulay said, Emsha Sefer Torah Sharu B'Tzar. Rabbi Yezer, who's like a Sefer Torah, is in Tzar. The boy Nivka, we shouldn't cry. Amrulay Makahani Masakik. That's exactly why I'm happy. As long as I saw my Rebbe, that he never, his wine never turned sour at him. And his flax never got ruined. And his oil never spoiled. And his honey never spoiled. Perhaps he's getting the schar in this world. Now that I see he has tzar, I'm happy because I know that he's not getting his car in this world and he's getting Olam Haba. I'm like Akiva, Sir Eliezer says to Akiva, is there anything I didn't keep that I deserve a punishment? I'm like, he told him, Lamateinu Rabbeinu, you taught us, the other main tzaddik boras ha-shiyas ha-tayv v'layachtam. There's no person in the world that doesn't do a sin. Everybody has a sin and therefore it's not that. Now, it's a pasuk. What do you mean Lamateinu Rabbeinu? That's just done in the Derech Eretz to commence. He didn't say, well, the pasuk says, you taught me this pasuk. That's what he told him. Now, this is a question, because Gemara says in Shabbos that we paskim yesh misa b'loy avon. The Gemara there that says, one man the Amet said, there's no death without sin, and there's no suffering, with no, ein misa b'loy chet ve le'in surim b'loy avon. There's no death nor suffering without sin. And the Gemara asked the Kasha, there's a Braita that says that four people died without sin. So there is death without sin. So the Gemara remains schwer. This Gemara seems to say, But this Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva said, hey, other main tzaddik who answers Shasta type of Yaksa, everybody sins. So there's different ways to answer it. Some want to say that the Gemara only falls back from the statement that there's no death without sin. But Yisurim is also only below, is only with Avark. And some want to say he was saying there might be people that don't sin, but the overwhelming majority of people do sin. Very few people went through the world without any sin, namely four. And therefore, the assumption is that even a person like Rabbi Eliezer did a chait sometime. That's what Rabbi Kiva would say. Rashi, Shkoz Man She Yisi Raya Es Rabbi Shein Yein Emachmetz Kolem Shoyta Tzvokha Bechol Maisav. There was success in everything he did. Amayti Kibu Rabbi Esalom Mais. I said Rabbi got his world called Tzcharei. Raya Rabbi Bitzar Tzcharei Mishtamer Lahavo. The Tzcharei is being kept for future. Kachari Sameach. That's why I'm happy. Can I just finish Rashi? Madrish The honey turns into liquefies because of heat. It ruins the honey. Yes. I'm sorry. I guess not. No, not necessarily. Chayrim was made because of the fact that people would follow him in his sock, which was wrong. He refused to change his mind. But you can't call that an Aveira. He felt he was 100% right. The Chayrim was made to get the message.
Chayrim isn't given to you because
he was right. Was given not because he was a bad boy. That's the show. The Chayrim is given because of the fact that one has to preserve the institution of a sock and not let someone undermine that sock. Even though he felt he was 100% right, halacha, they felt that he can't paskin that way anymore.
This one continued for 1 month. If you refuse, he had rebelled against the psak of the chachamim.
He held he was right to do it.
And at one point, the chachamim said stop, and he refused to stop. So he had gone against the das of the chachamim. So they said we're going to have to put him there.
Again,
he had done. He refused to listen to the chachamim.
See, if a person refuses to listen to the Chachamim, it's one thing. If a person of Eliezer's stature says, in this place, I don't have to listen to the Chachamim, that's his sock, which he's capable of making, I don't know if he can consider that a chait.
A cherem is not a kokov that you give for a good talmud.
Sometimes a cherem is done not for the person, but because it has to be done. Not because the person did anything wrong, but because something has to be established. Yes.
We have a lumdus. The lumdus is Hashem gives some people good things in this world because that's what they want. They ask that person to go materialistic, they care about ruchnius, give stuff in this world. This is what they want. This is the currency they want. In this situation, what do we think? That this is of giving everything to him because this is what he. It doesn't make sense. We can't say, the reason he's getting all these good things is because this is what he wanted.
I don't mean Rabbi Eliezer, but what would be of a person that doesn't want materialistic stuff, but is a terrible Baal Aveira? Would he get his car not in this world? Number one. Number two is, it doesn't say Rabbi Eliezer was showered with materialistic things. It said he didn't suffer. He didn't face the suffering in life. So, he lived a life free of suffering. I mean, you read stories about Rabbi
The interaction here between Rabbi Akiva and
the other
answer is Rabbi Eliezer knew this posture.
I think he's saying I'm not aware of anything that I did. And his answer was, Rabbi Akiva's answer is, there are unawares, there are things one does when they're unaware as well. I don't have an answer to your question. I don't have the answer. Whether he reminded him, I don't know. I mean, simply you would learn he reminded him. Meaning, He said, but you did teach us that. Rabbi Yezer got sick. Four skanim came in to visit him. The time from Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lozav, and Azayi, Rabbi Kiva. Now this is not Talmidav, because Rabbi Shua is a friend. This is, I don't think they consider Talmidav, but I don't know if it's the same ones that visited him in the previous story. I don't know. Nana Rabbi Tarfim, Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud. And so is Rabbi Tarfim. And so is Rabbi Lozav, and Azayi. But I think Rabbi Shua, I don't think he's a Talmud. I don't think Rabbi Shua is the Talmud over here in the summer Gairis Rabbi Yisraeli instead of Rabbi Shua. That would make all four Talmidim. Nana Rabbi Tarfim Va'amar. Taibatul Yisrael Matipa Shok Shamim. You are more beneficial to Klal Yisrael than a drop of rain. Shatipa Shok Shamim Ba'ilam Azeh, the Rabbi Ba'ilam Azeh Ba'ilam Abob. I guess this was a form of Yisurim, of Tfilah. Rabbi Mishlelem, heal Rabbi Eliezer. We need him more than we need grain. Rain provides for us in this world, Rabbi Eliezer provides for us in both worlds. You are more precious to Klal Yisrael than the Gal Golchama is the something of the sun, or the orbit of the sun. Gal Golchama by the Mazeb, Rabbi by the Mazeb, by the Mabah. Then Rabbi Lozav and Azayi Vamar, Taibatu Yisrael Yoisim Aveim. A Rabbi is more precious than parents. Shabbaim by the Mazeb, Rabbi by the Mazeb, by the Mabah. Then Rabbi Kiva Vamar Chabibim Yisurim. Rabbi Kiva spoke up and he said, "Ah, how good it is to have Yisurim." Amar Lahem Sumchuni. The main teacher, well, obviously, it's talking about that the parents did not teach him the main part of the Torah. The main part of the Torah came from his Rebbe.
Yeah, but they still bring him to him.
Not to the same degree that his Rebbe is.
It always makes it sound like this.
Not to the same degree that his Rebbe is, unless the parent father is his Rebbe. Amar Lahem Sumchuni Ve'eshma Divri Akiva Tamidu. Support me. You know, sit me up so I can listen to Akiva, my Talmud, Shama Chaviva Yisurim. I'd like to hear him explain his Chaviva Yisurim. Amalai Akiva, zoom in Ayaloch. How do you know the Chaviva Yisurim? So now Rabbi Akiva is going to go into Drash and prove that Yisurim are very beneficial for a person. That Yisurim do for a person that nothing else can do for him. And they cleanse them, cleanse a person from chait. We always daven to the Rabbi Nishlam Avadloya Yidei Yisurim. We don't want Yisurim. Yisurim are terrible. Yisurim are very bad. Yisurim are very painful. And we feel that we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better without Yisurim. However, if Rahman al-Islam, one has Yisurim, it is the most beneficial thing for their neshama in the sense that it cleanses their neshama. And that's what he's saying, Chaviv and Yisurim. He's not saying one should ask for it. He's saying, in reality, that's what it does. Rashi. Kum chasar tishat tosai oimar anisayu avanoisa, I'm getting my sins. Rashi saying that there'll be new sources of illumination. Now, where do we see that Yisurim can accomplish what nothing else can accomplish? That the Gemara, he said, Mikrani Darish. I'm Darish in the Gepatik. Menashe was 22 years old when he became king. The Chamishim v'chamei shanam molev v'yushalayim. He ruled in Yushalayim for 55 years. The Yasarab Bene Hashem, and we are going to be spending a lot of time in Menashe in the coming letter in the next few weeks. He did the bad in the eyes of Hashem. Uchsivan it says, Gamal Eila Mishli Shleima. These are the parables of Shleima Melech. Asher Tiku Anshi Chizkiya, Melech Yehuda. Chizkiya's students are the ones that wrote down Mishli. So Chizkiya was able to teach Klal Yisrael Torah to the point that his students were enough versed that they wrote Mishli. They wrote Shleima Melech. Mishlei down. They put it into paper. So the Melech had taught Mishlei. He had written some of it, not all of it. Some say he wrote more, some say he wrote less. The bottom line is, it was finished by Chizkiya's Talmidim. It means Chizkiya taught Torah to everybody. We had it before as well. So the question is, Chizkiya Melech Yehuda l'chol oylem kula limit Torah l'menashe v'noy l'limit Torah? What, you think Menashe wasn't well learned? Chizkiya taught everybody and Menashe didn't learn Torah? Elomi kol Torah she'am Torah b'ay. All the tircha, all the bother that he put into teach him. And because Amosha Amabai, and with all the toil that Chizkiya put into his son, it didn't help. Menashe went off to Derech anyway. He became an Ibn Abed Zara anyway. After all that Zara, what saved him? Why did he do tshuva? He did tshuva because he suffered. Yisurim was able to do what Torah hadn't been able to do for Menashe. That's where I see Chavivim Yisurim. Because look what Yisurim can accomplish, which nothing else can accomplish. Hashem spoke to Menashe through Nevi'im. But like Shiva, they didn't listen. Hashem brought the officers of the army, Ashelamelech Asher, and they captured, as Menashe Bachoychim, is what?
Hooks.
Vayesru ben Chashtayim, ban Chushtayim, and they put him into chains. Vayelecheu bevela, and they took him to Bavel. Uksiv ubehet shaloi, and when things got real bad, chilos mei Hashem alekav, he davened to Hashem, and he subjected himself, he humbled himself in front of Hashem. And Hashem answered him, turned to him. That's how he learned Hashem Ulakim. His father couldn't teach it to him, the Torah couldn't teach it to him, Yisurim taught it to him. How precious Yisurim are, because it gets people to do tshuva and it cleanses them from chait.
The Krashi. This is like a forced tshuva.
Yeah.
Did I say the last minute? Because I think no doctor can cure you, cure the person. So the last result is, you know what? I better speak to God.
Uh huh. That's exactly what happened.
That is not the ultimate way of doing tshuva.
No, but it's a tshuva nonetheless.
But even a little, it seems like, you know, this is wow. This is a great.
It's very efficient. That's all it's saying.
But it's not the
ultimate is never to do chait. The ultimate is never to do sin to begin with.
Of course.
So that's the answer to your question. Of course. Of course, it's not the ultimate. The ultimate is a person to do tshuva on his own. To never do chait, and if he does chait, he should do tshuva right away. That's the ultimate.
So this is teaching us what then?
It's teaching us that yisurim are effective when nothing else is effective. And if Chas V'Shalom they come, it's a positive. One should do it as the kapara that it is. If it happens, it enhances the kapara process when a person recognizes it for what it is. The Zayna Kapara, the famous Jewish saying, when a person suffers, the Zayna Kapara.
From any kind of suffering,
maybe
not only physical.
No, it means any Yisurim. Yisurim is Yisurim. I mean, the Gemara says if you stick your hand in your pocket and you get the wrong coin, it's also Yisurim. Those are the Yisurim we don't mind.
If you look at that, for some people, they're football season.
Glad you're back. No, hey, well, it's not good either, but I'll tell you what. These are the students of Chizkiya. The Kaimelam Bashutzim Babavatra, like it says in the first paragraph of Babavatra. Chizkiya was Sayyata Kusfum Mishlei. They called the Chizkiya Melamed Bakal. He taught everybody. I mean, like we said before, Noach Chayra Pesach Beit HaMedrash. He put a sword into the door of the Beit HaMedrash. Koshkin Shalom Menashe Benay Limei. Of course, he taught Menashe his son. Chotayach Shatayach Berlalamdai. That's the Gemara Vayitzeh. By the way, it says in the Navi, they put him in a pot. They were cooking him to death. Menashe, yeah. He was in a real sad shape when he died in Tachkodesh Baruch Hu. He was basically in a boiling pot.
Hot water?
Tachkodesh Baruch Hu made a miracle. I don't know how he saved him. Yeah, he was in hot water, literally in hot water.
Wasn't a tshuva miyu and not mahava?
It was a tshuva, but it works. That's the Gemara Vayitzeh. Tana Rabbana Shleisha Bol Balila. Three people came with what they thought was a valid taina, and in order that people should not accept, meaning people should not view it as their valid taina was not accepted, Hashem accepted it. Alila means an invalid taina. But in their minds, they thought they had a valid claim. And because they thought they had a valid claim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it, even though in truth it was a very invalid claim. That's how Mashal explains Rashi. They weren't begging. They said words that are victorious, like claimed good kindness, Shailam Tshuva that there's no answer for. Says the Mashal, of course there's an answer for every one of these. But they used it in a way that they thought that if they're not going to get answered, it proves them, it approves something. And therefore, quote unquote, Kaviyachol forced the Rabbi Nishlam's hand. That's how the Mashal explained it. Who are these three? Kayan, Eluhen. Kayan, Esav, Umanasha. Kayan, the Chsiv, God, Lavayim, and Shai. Hashem says, you killed Hevel. So he said, is my sin not tolerable? What's his taina? I'm a Levon of Rabbi Nishlam. You know, I see him in my prophecy. Kayan talked to the Rabbi Nishlelem. So the Mepharshim say he probably had a good idea of the Vua as well. I mean, the Rabbi Nishlelem communicated with him. You know, he doesn't communicate with us. So Kayan was, you know, he was a heavy, he's a high person. So he says, I see that there's going to be 600,000 Jews sitting against you, and you're going to be mindful of them. Is my one sin worse than theirs? I mean, fair is fair.
He's half the world.
But that's his taina. So, in his mind, it's an unbelievable valid taina. You can be Michael 600,000 people, you can't be Michael me?
It's not the same
as he thinks it's worse. He thinks Havad Azara is worse. Havad Azara. Not the Salayat Lab. Hey, Subdach says, Habracha Akasi Lecha Avi? No bracha to give me? So, Mashiach explains that he was saying is, if you can't give me one bracha, that means obviously, the God you talk to doesn't control all brachas. There's got to be something left for me. And the third one is Menashe. B'tchilu karla lo ha'isharbe. He davened to all his gods. B'tchilu karla kev ha'isav. Then he turned to Hashem and said, if you don't answer me, so what's the chelak? So he thought that was a winning taina. It wasn't a winning taina, but in his mind he thought he had a winning taina, so the Rabbi Nishlam accepted it. Rashi. He answered a very strong claim, but also in it worked. He didn't dive into Hashem until the end. You don't answer me, why are you better than the other gods? Now he humbled himself, because the Adhashta, until now he was davening to other gods. Okay, come to give my advice. No answer. Tshuva here means answer, response.
No answer.
They think that their claim is such a good claim, nobody can refute it. There's no refutation to their claim.
That's in their mind.
Yes, that's how the Mashal explains Rashi, correct.
Well, doesn't everybody think that? The Western Kohen who has a taina?
Depends how honest you are with yourself.
They really... Most people think when they ask,
you ask a question, you think there's no tshuva to it?
We all fudge.
I mean, most people, we go down to Rabbi Nishlam, you think you have a time to Rabbi Nishlam that there's no answer to? Rabbi Nishlam, I deserve this? Rabbi Nishlam, you can't not give this to me? That's what they did. They went to Rabbi Nishlam and they said, listen, you got to give this to me. If not, we don't talk that way. At least I don't talk that way to Rabbi Nishlam.
Asus was speaking to his father.
His father. But the other two were speaking to Rabbi Nishlam. But Mashiach says Asus was using a Muna in his way too. He was saying, listen, you deal with Rabbi Nishlam. Are you telling me he ran out of brachas? He only has a limited amount? Is he limited? That's how Mashiach explains Asus' claim. How can you say there's no bracha for me? But all of a sudden there's limits?
But they were answered. He was given a bracha.
So he got what he wanted. That's not a tshuva. That's getting what you want. Eilem tshuva means there's no response to answer him and not give him what he wants. And the truth is, Dr. Mashar, there is a tshuva to all these people. You think you deserve it after the way you behaved? But in their minds, it's an impossible claim to answer.
What is
nothing. He's just telling you that that's what they did. Doesn't prove, doesn't tell you they hate it anyway.
They were asking questions they were not expecting to be responded to. And
no, I think you're misunderstanding Eilem Tshuva.
I don't.
Eilem Tshuva means there's no way to schlug them up.
They were schlugged up. They got another brother.
So that he wasn't schlugged up, he got what he wanted.
The
If I say, give me $100 and you can't answer me no, and you give me the $100, I got what I wanted.
He would have been happier if there was no bracha. I would have shown him something.
We're talking apples and oranges. Again, Esav wants a bracha. Yitzchak doesn't want to give it to him. Esav turns to him and says, you don't have any brachas left? And claiming it in a way that Yitzchak can't say no. So he gets what he wants.
And so it really, his father didn't really want to give it.
He did not want to give it to him, absolutely not.
So the bracha that he ended up getting was not much of a bracha.
He got a bracha. And he got it through this taina that he felt had no reputation back to it. Exactly. All these three, they weren't really forcing against somebody against the wall. In their minds, they forced somebody against the wall.
This is the
Lila
business.
That's the Lila, exactly. That's the Gemara. In the Mishnah, it says one who says Hashem's name in the letters is Ein Lachelik Leilam Haba. Tana, Ubegvulin, Ubeloshin Uga. Now, Rashi has Tubshatim. Basically, in the Beit HaMikdash, they used to say the shame of 42 letters. Rashi learns Haigas HaShem is not Yudke Vavke, but rather Shem Mem Beis. There's a shame of 42 letters. And one who speaks it out with his letter, with the thing, is Haigas HaShem Beis Yosef. Other Rishonim learn it goes on Yudke Vavke. Now what the Gemara is doing is saying it's only if one does it out of the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, they did it legally. And, according to the first chat in Rashi, only if one does not do it in Lashon Kodesh. If one does it in Lashon Kodesh, it's not as severe as doing it in other languages. That's what Rashi seems to be saying in his first shot. So Rashi, can I just finish the Rashi? Tana, ki armin and ha'igis Hashem v'yashaytem ein l'chelik l'olam abob, v'gvulim. It's out of the Beis HaMikdash. Abo b'migdash lo'ish, harim b'shem ha'im avarchim. They used to use the shem membeis when they did Birchus Kehanim and other times in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lashet Uga, Afilu b'migdash, I'm sorry, the first Pshat in Rashi is saying, even in the Beis HaMikdash, one is only allowed to do it in Lashon Kodesh. If one does it in Lashon Uga, he'd be Chayiv. So, he's Chayiv either b'gvulin in any language, or in the Beis HaMikdash, he does it b'lashon Uga. Roy Lashon Uga, Laz, she'ena ha'igib es joysa b'lashon HaKodesh shalonu without Lashon Kodesh, El Shar Loyazim, Uga Lashon Belage Safa, comes from the word Belage, which means foreign languages. That is Mari Rebbe. Mishnah Achrina. Uga is Lashon Uga, a cake, a pie, meaning when people go in a circle. Makam Shiesh Bechaburas B'nei Adam Shemadabrim Divrei Chayel. Places where people gather where they speak mundane things. Gvulin Kari Chutz L'Migdash. The Aser L'Farish Shem Ben Shabbaim Shtayim Lashon Uga Chutz L'Migdash. First Pshat says, in the Beis HaMikdash it is forbidden in any other language besides Lashon Kodesh, and in Gevulun, even in Lashon Kodesh. Second Pshat says, to lose Olam Haba, one needs two conditions, out of the Beis HaMikdash and in another language. The other ain't lechelik. But Lashon Kodesh ain't a nenesh kokach. The punishment is not as severe. Or the Mikdash, hayo v'nagul l'haskir perushay, they do express it, ain't a nenesh, even if he does it in a foreign language. Lamaisa, we don't say Hashem Ras Yosef, even Yudke Vavke, we are careful not to say the way it is written. Yes, what was your question from before?
It's very simple, Dave. Let's go with Kayan for example. A person who's in a desperate situation, he will, some people like to ramble, and he'll say whatever comes out of it, he'll try any method to try, maybe one thing will stick, you know what I mean? I'll say a million things, maybe one thing will stick. What's the raya? They were so confident what they were saying.
See, because you are thinking of Kayan as Jew. This Kayan is not a regular Jew. Kayan was a major, big person. Right?
And his brother.
They did, yeah. Uh-huh. They did. And Rabbanshim came to smoke. And Rabbanshim came to smoke them.
Let me go speak to him.
Exactly. And therefore, he's not rambling. He's not rambling. He's thinking through his answer pretty good what he wants to say.
People don't do that.
What am I supposed to say? Kind didn't do that. Again, you're trying to place our people into Kayan, into Esav, into Menashe. These are people far greater than us. All three of them. Far bigger people in potential and in connection than we are. Now, unfortunately, in the case of Asa for sure, he blew it pretty big time. But the potential was there. We're not dealing with some low life.
Nothing low life, but a person would try anything he can to...
I mean, he was a low life. But we're not dealing with the low life of today. We're dealing with a more sophisticated and more higher low life. Okay, that's the Gemara bites. Shleishim alachim abba hajaitis. The Mishnah says three kings and four common people don't have a chelik leilam abba. Tanur abana. First one mentioned is Yerubam. We are now going into the story of Yerubam. A fascinating story in Tanakh, and it, a lot of it is not understandable, but we will do our best. Tanur abana. Yerubam. Now, why is he called Yerubam? Now, the Mepharshim speak out that when a person is does something inherently bad, intrinsically bad, that means that's his, this is Metzias, meaning Yerubam had in him these powers of bad. So his name shows us those powers. Yerubam Sheriva'am, he lowered the nation. His actions lowered Klal Yisrael. Devarachi Yerubam Sh'asa Merivabam, he created conflict in the nation. Rashi learned, when he started spreading Avodah Zarah, there were the antis and the pros, and it caused a lot of conflict. Other Mepharshim learned, he split the Malchus. He split the kingdom. Zavrachar, Yerubam, Shasta Meriva Ben Yisrael, Avim Shebashamayim. He created animosity, fights between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael by spreading Avodah Zarah. Rashi, the Rashi, Shariva Am, Shariva Tzis Yisrael, he lowered Klal Yisrael, Vishpilam, made him lower. Asam Meriva Ba'am, Hirivam Elu Melu, the Esek Avodah Zarah. They were arguing with each other about Avodah Zarah. The Ovid, one was serving with Amalek, the other one tried to stop him, with bold the day Machlokes. That's the Gemara Vayta. Then Nevat, he's son of Nevat. What's Nevat? Then Shenibet V'loi Ra. What does the word Nibet mean? He wanted to look and didn't see? He looked and didn't see? Is that how he translates it?
No.
What?
No.
Tana, who Nevat, who Micha, who Sheva Ben Michri. Now, we meet Micha all the way back in Mitzrayim. And we meet Sheva Ben Michri, he led a revolution against David HaMelech. And now we're saying he was Yerubim's father. Now this is problematic. A, that means this Yerubim, that means Nevat lived a very long time. He was there from Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he was here now all the way through Malchus Shleima. Right? His son takes over Yerubim during Malchus Shleima. He's there by David HaMelech's time.
400 years after.
That's a long time. So some say, therefore, it's not that he's the same person, but it's the same. He came from the same family, and he the same. What should I say? Kaichus, the same personality, the same midas came through. Others want to say, yeah, he lived a long time. Some people lived a long time. He was one of them. And the other problem is Sheva ben Bichri came from Sheva ben Yamin, and Yerubam ben Nevat came from Sheva Ephraim. So some want to say that his mother was from one Shevet and his father was from the other Shevet. So he can be called Binyamin and Ephraim at the same time. Nevat, why was he called Nevat? Shenipet v'loira. He looked and didn't see. The Gemara is going to explain, he had a sign in Hashemayim, in a dream, the Rama says, that it showed that he was going to be king. And he misread the sign, meaning he thought the sign was that he's going to be king. It really was a sign for something else, and he misread it. That's Micha Shenismach Micha Bebinyan. He was the one that was pulled out of the building by Moshe Rabbeinu. In Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim were short of, when the Yidden didn't make enough bricks, the Egyptians took Jewish boys and basically cemented them into the walls. Moshe Rabbeinu was very disturbed and went to the Rabbeinu Shleilim and said, how could this happen? So the Benjamin said, every one of those boys that are being put in the walls have no shaykhus to becoming anything but Rishoyim. Therefore, it's to their benefit. And he said, if you don't believe me, take one out. And Moshe Rabbeinu took one out. He turned into Micha, who did Pesel Micha, and turns into Sheva ben Bichri, who is the father of Yerubim. That's the one that Moshe Rabbeinu pulled out of the wall. And Mashmai, what was his real name? Sheva ben Bichri Shmai. Dr. Rashi. The Rashi should even blow Roha. He saw the Lahabit the offer. He thought he was looking well. The Lahman al Zvarikarin to get into the main thing. The Roha should toy made a mistake. Because I mean, like we say, the common Roha is Yotzim Amasva. He saw a fire come out from his private part. This Makam Babinyan Shumatraim. Shunasnu Babinyan Bamakam Luvana. Vena. They put him into a building instead of a brick. His Mavarish Bagadha, like it says in the Medrash. Shamalam Mashalaka Rishmarok, Latai Raisa Wamazah. You've done very bad to this nation. Shahshav Mainlam Levena. If they don't have bricks, Masimim Benaim Shishol Babinyan. They put children into the building. They're getting rid of the thorns. I know that these children that have been put in are Rishom Gemurim. If you don't believe me, if you want to, take one out. That is first chat in Rashi. He was involved in real estate and building. He was a construction person, so he lost his money. Because I mean, like the Gemara says in Saita, I think Babinyam is Maskein, construction makes people poor. Fine, we will continue with Shem tomorrow. Crushed.
Kishmoy Kane who?
Right.